pulled the movie up that I wanted to do the tagline of, but didn't go to the tagline.
Oh.
Okay, here we go. What's up? This is Movies on Up. Where her book ended, their story began. I'm Dave, joined by the ending to my beginning, Mr. Ryan. I don't know what that means.
Because I'm going to end you.
Yeah,
apparently.
I don't know what that means, but he's Ryan. I am Dave. We are Movies on Up. Our tagline for this week, where her book ended, their story began. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or the Twitter, @moviesonup. If you're right and we pick you, we will save one of our famous Movies on Up prize packages and send directly to you. And you could say, hey, I won this because they saved it for me from the Ms. Banks episode. This week, I don't know why. Oh, Charlie's Angels.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The movie that you were so excited about.
I am excited about
just last week.
I am excited about this. Charlie's Angels comes out, directed by Elizabeth Banks. She shows up as Bosley along with other people. She's an actress I've loved for a long time. I mean, what Hot American Summer, I have raved about that
movie. Going to get a mention on this.
It's an also ran because I've talked about it so much.
Okay.
She's one of those that sometimes it's like, okay, we can do a top five and maybe I'll have enough also rans where I could have done a top 10. I could go 20 deep on Elizabeth Banks. I have my top 5, 3, 6, 9.
I've got at least 15.
I have 14. Mm-hmm. And I cut some of them out. At the Hunger Games, there's 4 of them.
Yeah, there's only one Hunger Games in my also rant.
So, like, I just put Hunger Games. And I cut some out where it's like, I like them, but I'm not going to talk about them. So, I'm excited for this list because she's one of those, maybe similar to our Judy Greer episode, but I think she has bigger, I think she's more prominent in her stuff. In the sense where, like, oh, if she shows up, she's going to be really good. And she generally shows up in good stuff. Whereas Judy Greer does that, where she just makes anything she shows up in better. Elizabeth Banks does too, but her parts are generally a little bit bigger. I cut out the stuff that we've talked about a lot, and I've cut out stuff where it was just like maybe smaller parts of hers. I tried to stick to where she had bigger roles.
I think that's fair. There's a lot of stuff that when I'm starting to list the folks that are in the movie, she's not billed even within like the top 3 to 5. But I think similar to the Judy Greer thing, you will absolutely remember that she's in all these movies. And even if her part's small, and a lot of times it's a small part in a comedy, she makes it stand
like
out.
Something like 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Which is on my list.
Okay. Not to spoil that or anything. But
to spoil it.
Like, I left it off because, like, she's in it for 5 minutes.
But you remember
her. She's so good, and it's so funny. I like seeing actors and actresses fall in with, like, certain people. Like, she did Hot American Summer. She's done stuff with the state people a lot since then. You know, she fell in with the Apatow crowd. She mixed with Kevin Smith. Yeah, so I've just always loved her. She was on Scrubs when I liked Scrubs. I'm excited because I love every one of these movies, and I love her. Could be just as passionate about my also-rans as I am my top 5. It was very hard to limit it to 5, but I tried to keep it to movies that maybe I haven't talked about before or as much. So I'm not going to have any also-rans because I have enough where if you mention it, I can just swap it out.
I don't think any of the ones that I'm going to mention are ones that they're ones that we talk about a lot. So I don't see that being a source of crossover, but that just means that probably the ones that are on my list is an also-ran, I'll be able to talk about when you bring them up. My number 5 is from a director we haven't mentioned by name already, but we have mentioned a perhaps more well-known movie by David Wayne. But my number 5 is not Wet Hot American Summer. It is Role Models from 2008, starring Paul Rudd, Sean William Scott, Christopher Mintz-Plasse, and Bobby J. Thompson. We might as well make it abundantly clear from the very beginning of this episode that as much as it is an Elizabeth Banks episode, and I assure you it is, it's also kind of a backdoor David Wayne episode. She has a couple of directors that she collaborates with. Dave's kind of already mentioned most of those, with Wayne being a frequent partner in crime. I love this movie. It made my favorite Paul Rudd movies. He co-wrote with Wayne and Ken Marino. As it relates to Banks and Jane Lynch, who's another highly billed, highly talented comedic actress, they kind of have less of the joke stuff that they do in a lot of other roles they take, but they're kind of like the more straight roles in this movie. And they each do wonderfully as perhaps the most likable and relatable, well-adjusted characters in the movie. Banks can do that well. She could have been just the girlfriend character, but like someone like Judy Greer, she takes what should be a small role and makes it stand out. It also helps that her character was written well, and she does have a part to play. She's the lawyer that represents Rudd and Scott's characters, as well as being Rudd's girlfriend. But she also has the charisma to make those small roles stand out. And that charisma is also what makes her comedic timing so good, to where we're going to mention her in a lot of really funny ensembles later. And she feels like she absolutely belongs in there, as she did here.
Have we done a favorite Paul Rudd movies? I don't think we have.
We haven't?
I don't think so. I just looked. It's not on our website, so
well,
maybe
it would.
Did with a different host if you're cheating on me. But this was my number two because I love this movie, but as of now,
I love it too.
It's no longer on my list.
Fair enough.
I kicked it off. I adore this movie. It's Paul Rudd at its ruddiest. I love Sean William Scott. He was one of those where if he's in the right role, he makes it his own where you can't imagine. Like, there's a lot of funny people.
Yes.
Even in this movie, like, Paul Rudd's good, but you can picture somebody else funny playing the Paul Rudd role. When Sean William Scott's at his best, you can't picture anybody else in that role. I mean, Stifler, obviously,
right.
But like this.
The Rock, that movie.
That movie, like, he's got this charm to him. And Cop Out, the Kevin Smith one, where he's not in it much, but
right.
His cameo in Old School. So I like him as a leading man and working off a Rudd who's kind of the straight man, but the sarcastic, disgruntled straight man in a movie surrounded by David Wayne's funny, yeah. 80 Miles. Everybody in this movie is very, very funny, even in small, small parts. It's up to McLovin and Rudd and Bobby J. Thompson, who I thought was going to be a bigger star after.
Yeah,
this.
He was really good.
He stole
good.
The show.
Yeah,
he was
did.
Really good. He came into all these established funny people and just kind of stole every scene he was in. I love this movie. And it's not just, oh, this is a funny movie. There's a lot of heart to it. It's got a lot of good message about, like, just be yourself. It's a really good movie that happens to be insanely
really
funny.
Really funny as well.
Yeah. Oh, it's still my turn.
It is still. You're number five.
Amazing I could talk about that movie that much without it even being on my list. My number five.
You don't prepare that much for things that are on your list.
My number five. It's one of those, I feel like I mentioned this movie a week or so ago, or I tried to and couldn't remember the name. I don't know why, and I don't listen to the show, so I can't tell you why I brought it up, but it's from 2008, written and directed by Nicholas Fackler, and also co-written by Tim Kasher. If you're into music, you know that name. It's lovely still. It's this amazing old people love story. It's Martin Landau, some of his best work.
He's an old guy.
He's very old. Ellen Burstyn.
Also old.
Yeah, and then you have Elizabeth Banks and Adam Scott.
Not old either of them.
No. And then Harmar Superstar shows up fifth build somehow. But it's a hard movie to talk about because there's times where I think a twist in a movie, like, yes, this movie's 11 years old. There is a twist in it that I think, if you know it, completely destroys the movie. So it's about Martin Landau falling in love. He's older. He's on his way out. And he starts falling in love with Ellen Burstyn, and it's a sweet, charming man falling in love with a woman. It's just a really, really sweet, charming movie that if you want to cry, I don't know if it's still on Netflix, look for Lovely Still. If you have a lovely lady or lovely man that you want to watch a lovely
holiday.
They don't
have to be old?
No. You watch it with your mom. Don't get making out with your mom, but like, it's a lovely love story that's great. About two old people falling in love. I mean, that cast is charming. Elizabeth Banks and Adam Scott plus Burstyn Landau. There's a lot of charm. Don't read anything about it first. The trailer doesn't spoil it like that new Paul Feig movie with the heart. Just watch it. It's a holiday movie. It's a love story. It's just a really, really sweet, charming movie that if you haven't seen, please watch Lovely Still and don't look anything about it. Just trust me on it because it's really, really good. And I love it.
My number four is not about old people, but it is about 40-year-old people. One in specific, it is Steve Carell's The 40-Year-Old Virgin from 2005, directed by Judd Apatow, starring the aforementioned Carell, Catherine Keener, and Paul Rudd. This also may turn into a low-key Paul Rudd episode as well. Carell and Apatow co-wrote what is one of the most rewatchable movies in recent memory, and I say co-wrote in big fat quotations as much as you write anything that's essentially ad-libbed. It's also easy to forget that this is kind of the birth of Judd Apatow and Carell. The Office had started on NBC, I think, about the same year in 2005, and it was the first feature directed by Apatow. Each guy blew up in the immediate aftermath of this movie, and for no real surprise, it was wonderfully done. There's a ton of improvised dialogue with some really great comedians in big and small parts. Elizabeth Banks fits into that well as the bookstore girl.
The bathtub scene.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think she actually comes back a couple times in the movie. So it's not even just like she has one scene and one cameo. She's just so damn good that she's worth her own callback in a movie that's got a ton of individually funny scenes. We talk about Super Troopers and the joke saturation. You can just turn it on and watch it for 12 minutes and laugh your ass off and go about your day. 40-Year-Old Virgin's a little bit like that as well. Everybody's so familiar with the plot. It's such a ubiquitous movie. Pop it in, watch it, and you can laugh because you're going to see a really funny actor or actress do something really funny, and Elizabeth Banks fits in there nicely.
And like, to jump on your point about like, oh, it kind of exploded Apatow and Carell onto the scene, this specific movie helped shape studio comedy for the next decade. We're kind of over it now. Like, we're not as into that, but this movie led to Superbad. It led to the Seth Rogen movies and the Belichick tree that I always talk
about. The Apatow-verse.
Yeah. You lead to Seth Rogen. You lead to Danny McBride with Your Highness.
That great sword and sandal movie.
Like, it's just, it's all these funny people getting with funny people that spread out and do other stuff. I love this movie. It's another one like Role Models. It's a really good movie. There's a lot of heart to it. And you can make a movie like Wedding Crashers.
Sure.
That it's like, okay, maybe that's a funny movie. I never liked it because it's a terrible movie. And I've never been a big Step Brothers fan because, yeah, it's funny. It's not a good movie.
There's no heart to it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's you can make a raunchy comedy.
You can make a joke-heavy movie.
Comedy.
And have heart to it. And I think that makes everything land so much more. If you have funny and awkward stuff happening to people who you're actually invested in, I think it means so much more. So like, yeah, Paul Rudd, you want to see him do funny stuff in Role Models, but you want him to end up all right.
Yeah.
You know, you want to see McLovin become all right.
But they're not laughing at any of these characters. You know what I mean? Like, there's an emotional honesty where the joke isn't that
he's a 40-year-old virgin.
Exactly.
It's a movie centered around a guy who is a 40-year-old virgin, but that's not what the jokes rely on. There's funny jokes, and yeah, some of them are at that expense,
right?
But that's not what the movie is about. It just happens to star a guy who happens to be a 40-year-old virgin. My number, whatever, four. Maybe. It's another one we talk about.
The tree.
Know, and I mentioned how she gets in with good groups of people, like Role Models with David Wayne, Wet Hot American Summer with David Wayne. She also starred From the State, the troupe that David Wayne started in. Michael Showalter wrote and directed The Baxter in 2005. Starring Elizabeth Banks, Michael Showalter, Michelle Williams, Justin Theroux, Michael Ian Black, Peter Dinklage, Paul Rudd shows up in it. This is another one of those that's funny, it's charming, it has heart. Just to sum it up, the Baxter is, you know, in every romantic comedy, you have the girl who's the lead, who's with another guy, and then the lead guy comes along, and the lead guy steals the girl from the other guy, and the other guy is the Baxter. And in this one, Michael Showalter is dating Elizabeth Banks, who is the lead lady. Justin Theroux shows up. He's the lead guy. So it's,
you know, they're going to get together.
Yeah, and it's, but it's told from his perspective, him losing this girl and him trying to bounce back from it. And it's really good. Michael Showalter's put together a pretty solid directing career. Him and Ken Marino have had a good run a couple times, especially in recent years. It's charming. It's funny. Showalter and Wayne and Michael Ian Black did Stella together, which is just really absurd. It's got some absurdity to it, but still keeps that level heart. And she's really, really good as this one that's getting away. But I mean, when your consolation prize is Michelle Williams, it's hard to really
feel worst places to land.
Yeah, it's hard to feel bad for him. But yeah, The Baxter from 2005. That's another one. If you haven't seen it, see it. And that's why that and Lovely still are on here, because sometimes I want you to see movies that I think you should see that you maybe haven't, because I don't think The Baxter or Lovely Still are really big movies. So check them out.
Yeah, certainly not as big as something like 40-Year-Old Virgin. My number three is the only movie on my list that would not classify as a comedy or even like a romantic comedy. No subgenre of comedy, although there are jokes in 2006's Slither, directed by James Gunn, starring Nathan Fillion, Elizabeth Banks, Michael Rooker. As a giant fan of Night of the Creeps, I was thrilled when I saw the trailer for Slither. A lot of folks were, this is just ripping off something from the 80s that I really, really loved. I took that as more of, here's a guy who likes kind of the same shit that I like, and now he's going to do his version of it, and we're going to be able to see something updated from a guy who's a fan of the B-movie stuff that I liked from the 80s. And this weirdo that I had known really nothing about coming fresh out of the trauma system, when I learned that, all this made sense now. Oh, I get why he's doing this. And he comes at it from a B-movie background. And that was on full display here. It is fun. It does have a great sense of humor. And for me, embraces what genre fans want to see when they go see a horror movie. That's great creature effects. This is also the first time I remember Elizabeth Banks as like a leading role. It's well enough into her career that we've seen her in some smaller comedic parts here and there. This time she's playing opposite Captain Reynolds himself. She had at that point built a nice resume in comedy, and I was certainly familiar with her work in there. And that skill set is essential for any James Gunn movie. But here she showed that she could lead a movie, and one that was in another one of my favorite genres. So we talk sometimes about actresses not necessarily having to stick within a particular genre. They can kind of branch out and do a lot of things. We're probably going to run down a lot of comedy stuff from Elizabeth Banks, because she does that a lot and she does it really, really well. But I love Slither. That was one of my favorite movies of that year. I still love it to this day. It's what started my love affair really with James Gunn. I had seen his trauma stuff but didn't know the name. When he got hired for Guardians of the Galaxy, I was like, that's the guy that did Slither and the guy that did Super. I'm really excited to see him working on a Disney movie now.
Yeah, this was a bit higher for me. This was my number one if it were to be on my list, but it's not on my
list
anymore. It would have
been
my number one. I came at it a little differently than you. I did know him from his trauma stuff. He had written the Dawn of the Dead remake. The Scooby-Doo movies were successful. Like, I knew him from writing those, but mostly I loved Dawn of the Dead, how it was done. And this is prime Firefly season.
Right.
So Nathan Fillion leading a movie. Yeah. And I already loved her. I just love this movie. It is a love story to horror movies. I mean, Greg Henry's character's last name is MacReady.
Yeah.
If you look
I think his first name was Jack. It might be Jack.
It's Jack MacReady.
Yeah, yeah, that's Jack from China. It's two Kurt Russell characters put together.
If you watch them as they walk down the street, there's all sorts of references in like the town, the business names and stuff. And
I think there's some posters.
Yeah, it's a love story to horror movies.
Even
it's,
the bathtub shot, to me, was reminiscent of Nightmare.
Yeah, that the love story to so many horror movies, while still being its own thing. It's still a self-contained thing. It's not just a collection of homages. And Nathan Fillion's great. She's great as like this kind of survivor girl. Like there's more than that. Tanya Saulnier also survived, but Michael Rooker. Like I love this movie. And this is one of those where we bring it up. It seems like every October. Like I feel like we skipped it this year because it didn't really fit with our theme. But it's one of those. It's from 2006. It's more of a modern horror movie that I think is now reaching classic stage because people that are into the genre really, really love. And I think if you're not super into horror, maybe you've missed it and it's kind of hard to go back to, but it's definitely worth going back to because it's such a good movie.
I think that's it. Like if you like James Gunn stuff, and what I mean by that is if you're into him as a director from like Guardian, you'll see a lot of the humor that you see in Guardians of the Galaxy. It's a little darker here for sure. This is a hard R-rated movie, but it's a lot of fun. We talk about Banks and Gunn, but you see Rooker and Gunn, which those two don't go far without each other.
Greg Henry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My Rooker was probably my favorite part of Brightburn when he shows up at the end. I fucking love that.
My number three, not a comedy. It's a lot of fun, and it's a different kind of role for her. She's always been the likable, either the leading lady or the sidekick or whatever. Except in 2017, she took on the main villain role in Dean Israelite's Power Rangers. And I know I've mentioned this movie quite a bit.
Once or twice.
Probably more than anybody ever or anybody should. But I really like her in this movie. It's a movie that tried to be grounded based on the cheesiest television show ever. When you think Power Rangers, you think of
grounded,
just
yeah.
Yeah.
Realistic, the gritty cheesy characters.
I love how they did it. I love that it took the time. It built up the Power Rangers as people, as characters. Like, you got to know the characters. It's like an hour some before they even get the armor. So I like RJ Seiler, Decker Montgomery, who's one of my favorites now. Like Naomi Scott, I believe her name is, and Ludi Lin and Becky G. Like, I just love the characters, what they did in this movie. And they did make it grounded. It is a gritty reboot of the Power Rangers. But then you have Elizabeth Banks still doing Rita Repulsa in kind of the same way, but making it more grounded. Like, she's still over the top, but still fits into this grounded movie. And I think that was really impressive. And I think Dacre Montgomery, Naomi Scott, RJ Seiler, they've all went on to do good stuff since this. When they got cast for this.
Yeah, it's Billy from Stranger Things.
Yeah. Naomi
the
was
girls
Aladdin,
and Charlie's Angels.
Aladdin and Charlie's Angels. Yeah. RJ Seiler showing up in a bunch of stuff. These were all people that they were no names. And they cast Bryan Cranston as Zordon, Bill Hader as Alpha 5. And then
Bryan Cranston was Zordon, wasn't he? Like, yeah. In the show.
Oh, was
yeah, yeah. Bryan Cranston did voice work for the Power Rangers.
Yeah, but
he was doing.
But then, like, Elizabeth Banks as the villain kind of added some like credence to this movie. Like, that's the lady from Hunger Games is the villain in these movies, and
wearing the same costume.
Yeah, and well, yeah, Effie was a little lighter, but and I like that about Elizabeth Banks because she commits, and that's why she can show up for a 5-minute role and steal the scene because she commits. Effie in Hunger Games, that's a tough character to pull off without being a caricature. And I thought she did really, really well about adding depth to Effie instead of just being this cartoon. And I think she does the same with Rita Repulsa. There's something there to it, but it's still incredibly over the top. And I really like this Power Rangers movie. I don't know if I've mentioned that before, but I'm a big fan.
I've heard that. I'm glad that you mentioned that she commits. I think that is one of the most important things about her, especially when she's doing like the comedy roles, and if they're not as big, you kind of have to just commit to it to make that role what it needs to be. Everyone in the aforementioned Wet Hot American Summer did that wonderfully back in 2001, directed of course by David Wayans, starring Janine Garofalo, David Hyde Pierce, Paul Rudd, and just a ton of people.
Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, in his first role. We've gone on about this movie before, and I was certain that Dave was going to have it on his list. I don't blame you for not. But this is a comedy troupe movie. You know what I mean? It's not just like a specific ensemble. And even the Broken Lizard guys are a comedy troupe. They made a movie. This, to me, feels even more like a sketch group movie. It's almost like watching an all-star game, but not just an all-star game, like a Futures all-star game, because you've got Amy
Poehler. Rising star game.
Right, exactly. Before a lot of these folks went on to do network
stuff.
You watch
it Friday night before the all-star game, and it's like, before the slam dunk, it's like, I don't care about most of these people.
Yeah.
And then you watch it. It's like watching a Miami-Ohio State game from 99-2000, where it's like, oh, everybody there is an NFL player.
They're all pros now. The roles that these people had, I mean, you mentioned Bradley Cooper, who's now an Academy Award nominated director. He shows up in a very small, goofy part here opposite Amy Poehler, who'd go on to headline many comedy movies. Everybody commits to their bit. And this movie is absolutely silly. And if you didn't commit to the silliness, it would just be a mess. And this is certainly one that in 2001, I get that people just didn't know what to do with it. But the talent is just incredible. And it's no surprise that if you give this movie a chance with all of the talented people that you may not have realized how talented they were at the time, there's a reason why Netflix has gone back and given the prequel and the sequel. It's because there is so much gold here, along with all of those insanely funny, insanely talented people. She's right in there, and she's got a bigger role in the Netflix stuff. Maybe that's because they couldn't get some of the other folks, but she feels like she belongs in that comedy troupe. And that's the biggest compliment that you could give to an actress, is that, you know, she doesn't have necessarily 10 years of experience writing jokes, writing sketches with these guys, but she stepped in there and it felt organic.
This would have been obviously my number. I mean, this is a top 10 movie for me, probably, just from an emotional standpoint and everything, because I did grow up loving The State. Like, that's where my sense of humor came from. And it is very much a state movie. Like, yeah, the whole state's not in it. There's a lot that aren't, but The State relied on, how absurd can we go?
It was very much a yes and movie.
Yes, their sketches were very just absurd. And instead of saying like, oh, let's take these absurd premises and try to kind of ground them, which SNL will do sometimes, where they'll just have these absurd premise surrounded by straight men. It's like, no, we don't need straight men. Let's just all go nuts. And I mean, look at the talent that came out of The State. You know, David Wayne, Showalter, Thomas Lennon, Latruglia, Michael Ian Black, Ken Marino, Carrie Kinney. You know these people. You may not have watched The State, but when one of them shows up, you know these people. It would have been high on my list, but I left it off. My number, I don't even know at this point. My number two, it was originally Role Models, but I changed it to another comedy, to where she's not the focal point of it. There is a duo that is the main focus, and she's just kind of a smaller part. And then this one from 2018, it is Brian Henson's The Happy Time Murder, starring Melissa McCarthy and a puppet.
a lot of puppets.
I really like this movie. Like, it bombed. It was talked about as being like the worst movie of the year. I really liked it. I mean, I'm a show for Melissa McCarthy. I love it. I love puppets fucking. You're going to get me with that. This is a good Elizabeth Banks role, because by the trailers, it's like, oh, cool, she makes a cameo. And then you realize, like, oh, her part's bigger. And
yeah,
the more Elizabeth Banks, the better. This is another one. She commits. She has her part. She has her role. You could mail it in and just kind of be in the background, or you could be Elizabeth Banks and like steal every scene you're in and be a highlight of a movie that I really, really liked.
And with the graphic nature of the puppet fucking in this, they are asking everyone to commit to everything. Like, you can't half-ass this movie. Nothing about it is a half measure.
I think the only one is Maya Rudolph got off with just being like, just be straight. You play it straight. Everybody else, nobody else can play it
straight. She played it straight, but her face did not.
She's one of those, like, who else could do that role but Maya Rudolph and nail it like that? And that's what this movie is. I mean, Melissa McCarthy, Elizabeth Banks, Maya Rudolph, Joel McHale for a little bit. Just, I love this movie. And I am not ashamed to admit it. I really liked it. I thought it was really funny. And for me, it's a funny movie.
We had some ridiculously, probably unfair expectations or hopes for this movie when it came out. It was, I mean, we did a Roger Rabbit episode leading up to that because we thought, all right, well, a puppet detective movie, but a raunchy version of that. I think it's certainly closer to Meet the Feebles than it is Who Framed Roger Rabbit. And it was good. It's absolutely one that I'm glad that we mentioned. Like you said, it's not an Elizabeth Banks movie. But
from also ran to number two. I'm glad I got to talk about it.
Quite a rise. My number one, not puppets, rather Legos. The Lego Movie from 2014, directed by Phil Lord and Chris Miller, starring Chris Pratt, Will Ferrell, and Elizabeth Banks. When this movie came out, it was one of my favorite movies to recommend to anyone. Didn't matter what your age was or what you generally liked. The Lego Movie was one that if people asked me, hey, you know, what's good? I'm going to go to the video store, get some movie. It didn't matter. The Lego Movie. Have you seen it? No. I don't have any kids. Why would I watch it? Trust me. Just go watch it. There have been a couple movies since we've been doing this show that I've really felt awesome about referring to people, because I know that they're going to like it because the movies are so well done. And we've mentioned it earlier. There's some heart to it. If you're a kid, you're going to like the Lego stuff. There's enough like slapsticky jokes. If you're an adult, not that it's adult humor, but there's jokes that you're going to laugh at as well. There's the creativity angle. This movie really was, pardon the phrase, it was awesome. I absolutely loved it.
Like all the pieces coming together.
Yes, indeed. Lord Miller are guys that have made, in a pretty short span, maybe about a decade, they've made some of my favorite comedies of the decade. Lego Movie is up there. The Jump Street stuff is great. Spider-Verse from last year, funny, but that's got heart. Great movie.
Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs was like their first.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah. That's like, going back to the beginning
like
of the
decade.
They made
a career of like, how do you make a 10-page book, a full length movie? And like, how do you make the things that I step on a movie? Like when Jump Street, how do you make it a comedy? They started off with like terrible ideas and making them work. And now they're in a position they can do anything they want except
make
solo.
A Star Wars movie. Yeah. Started thinking about doing a Lord and Miller episode. If we ever had to do that, I don't know how I'd begin to rank those. I'd have no problem coming up with a 5, but just putting them in any kind of order, I have no idea how you do it. But she's kind of the perfect actress to be the lead role in a Lord and Miller movie, specifically this one. She had enough charisma that she could be like sort of the...
She was the hero.
Yeah.
Kinda.
Yeah. I don't take any shit. I don't need saving. But she was also really funny. The sequel's not bad, but this one was so good.
I like this one. This one was one of my also-rans. Another one of my also-rans that's now my number one. My number one was Slither, but I figure I'll replace Slither with another horror movie to stay true to that. From 2019, that's this year.
In case you're keeping score at home.
Going back to James Gunn, he produced this, written by his brothers, Brian and Mark, directed by David Yarovsky. It's Brightburn. I like when she acts. Like, I really do. And I like when she commits. And this is her as a mom who is given a blessing. Like, a mom that can't have a kid. And then now she has one. And how far she'll go to protect that. And I like the movie. It's a cool concept. It's basically, what if Superman wasn't good?
Yeah.
I feel like the gore was almost too gore. It didn't really fit. Like, the gore almost took me out of it. And I'm not an anti-gore person. I just feel like the movie was kind of grounded and just pretty straightforward. And then when the gore happened, it was just like over the top.
And they let you sit in it for a while, too.
Yeah, and that, I think that was it. And I mean, I get that it's... I think this movie is more horror than it was built up to be. And I think the gore does have a lot to it. I don't think it takes away from it. I just think it's a little overdone. I love the ending. She's a really good actress. And I love when she can break loose and just be... Just commit. She does in this movie. She is that loving mother who her child can do no wrong. And it's a competent movie. I really, really like it. I love the ending after everything happens as it fades into credits. I think that's how you end this movie. Like, I don't know how you could build up to anything else other than that. So from her originally in a horror comedy in my number one, this is, I would not call a horror comedy.
Uh-uh.
But still from the Gunn family, still in the horror genre. And still a great performance from her. So that was my number one. What kind of also-rans did you have?
The closest one to really making the list was the first Pitch Perfect, not the ones that she directed. I love her and John Michael Higgins. There's a lot of roles in the first Pitch Perfect that I like an awful lot, but they're really good.
I had the first one as my also-ran. Yeah. Hunger Games just as one.
Yeah, like, that was just, right behind
she's,
there.
She's
yeah.
really good in those, and... You know, it kind of crawled to the finish line, but...
Yeah, I don't know which ones are which. I remember, because I didn't read the books either.
Yeah.
I just watched the
movies. I mean, I think the first two were really, really good.
I think so, yeah. And
I think that
she was in them.
Yeah, them splitting Mockingjay into two, whatever.
I like her idiot brother.
I left that one off.
Which
that's
I felt
Paul
like.
Rudd. That's another Paul Rudd. I left that one off. Like, that's
I like
one
that was
I,
our Paul Rudd list that yeah. we maybe didn't do.
Walk of Shame is one of the only ones where she's like, that is her movie.
Yes.
Like, she is the lead. It's not a great movie, but she's really, really good. It's one of those where if you're just in the mood to shut your brain off for, you know, 90 minutes and yeah. just watch a silly comedy with a good performance, it's that. Zach and Miri make a porno. I like her. I like Seth Rogen. It's not Kevin Smith's best.
No.
I like the concept of it. I like that it was him trying to get a little more heart in that raunchy world. Like, mm-hmm. it was him kind of like that. And
she's a good one to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially opposite Seth Rogen. Right. So, I mean, a lot of the same names in all these. But, yeah, that was pretty much it. And I feel like some episodes where it's like, oh, you'll mention something. And it's like, I don't really have one. Like, oh, well, I'll just move right on. But this one, I feel like each of us had a ton to say about each movie. And I think that says a lot about her and like how much I love her because
she makes enjoyable stuff.
Yeah. Like I could still keep going. I could go down her IMDb and probably have something positive to say about the next 3 days. She's good in it. It's not a good movie, but she's good in it. That's her acting again. I could probably say something positive about pretty much every movie. She's that Chris Pine movie. That's solid. People Like Us or whatever it was. So yeah, I'm a big fan of hers. I'm excited to see
whatever. Charlie's Angels.
Charlie's Angels. I like that she's directing a lot now. The more Elizabeth Banks, the better. Maybe someday we'll get a biopic about Elizabeth Banks, and maybe it'd be called Saving Mrs. Banks.
Yep.
Next week, Mr. Rogers, or what's his name? Tom Hanks skips into the
like, yeah, it is Mr. Rogers.
Skips into the neighborhood and won't you be my neighbor or something. I think when Rocket Man came out or Queen, that movie.
Yes.
I know we've done our favorite like music biopics.
Right.
So this time we're just doing favorite biopics.
No music.
Yeah, that's still a broad term. So we'll talk about that more next week. So next week we'll be talking about our favorite biopics. What's that mean? I don't know. Maybe we'll find out by next week. But until then.
Keep it up.